guys ready for a word this morning? I wish I could be where you're at right now, hearing today's message for myself. You guys are in a good place. But I got to teach it. So we're going to go to Luke chapter 19, beginning at verse 29. Luke chapter 19, beginning at verse 29. And as we go there this morning, the Word of God says, as he came to the town of Bethpage and Bethany of the Mount of Olives, he sent two disciples ahead. He said, go into that village over there, he told them. As you enter it, you're going to see a young donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks, why are you untying that colt? Just say, the Lord needs it. So they went and found the colt just as Jesus had said. And sure enough, as they were untying it, the owner asked them, why are you untying that colt? The disciples simply replied, the Lord needs it. So they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments over it for him to ride. And as he rode along, the crowd spread out their garments on the road ahead. Let's pray. Father, bless this Palm Sunday sermon. It's a different one. But I know it was you that inspired this in my heart. I pray that you would help me to teach it. Bless us today with your presence. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat as we get into this word this morning. The title of today's message is just one simple word. The title of today's message is peace. Peace. Yeah. Some of you are like, what's that? I don't have that in my life. You look around the world today, a lot of people are searching for this one thing. Peace. We want peace in our lives. Peace in our minds. Peace at home. Peace. Come on, say that with me. Say peace. I notice lately, it's easy to lose this, isn't it? A lot of us can lose peace in a moment. One phone call. Bad news. One bad report from a doctor. Problem with the child. Problem with bills. What am I going to do? What's next? What if? It's so easy to lose peace. And when I was reading this Palm Sunday message, there's something I noticed that I never noticed before. See, Palm Sunday is a week that we remember Jesus coming into Jerusalem. And Jesus would ride on this donkey. And all these crowds would be around him. And as Jesus was riding this donkey, we all know the imagery. Everyone would pick up these palm branches. And they would get their garments and throw it on the floor. And all the people would yell, Hosanna! Hosanna! And all of these are all symbolism. I want you to understand this morning. You see, the palm branches were not a symbol of religion. In fact, it was more political than anything. When you waved palm branches, it was a sign of victory. It was a demonstration of celebration and joy over overcoming a battle. So it was often used when a king came back home from a war that they had won. All the people in town would grab branches and they would yell, victory, victory, we did it. And they would shake their pom-poms. They would celebrate. And the people would grab their clothes and throw it on the ground because that was also a way of showing respect and honor to the king that was coming in. So when they saw Jesus, everyone was shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, shaking their palms and throwing their clothes, meaning, here we are to honor you, Lord. And look at us, we have victory, we have joy, we're happy. But here's what's confusing to me. While they're shaking their palms, They're yelling, Hosanna. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The word Hosanna, actually, its origin is from the Hebrew word Yasha Ana. Yasha literally means save us. And Ana literally means to beg. So as the people are shaking their palms, they are screaming at Jesus, save us, we're begging you. What a picture. So many of us in the church. You see, I thought about this. It's so easy for us to shake our pom-poms in church. It's so easy for us to give the illusion that we're happy. To give the illusion that we have joy, that we have victory, and everything's great, and everything's wonderful. We come to church on a Sunday, and we come to worship, and everyone says, hey, how are you doing? I'm great. Look at me. I'm happy. We're in church, singing songs of worship, fellowshipping, hugging, socializing, and everyone looks around and says, look how happy they are. Look, because they're shaking their pom-poms. And we come to church with a smile. We come to church with laughter. And it's so easy for us to give the illusion that we have victory, to give the impression that we have joy. This is what we do with our social media. So many people can post pictures and filters with them smiling, holding hands, out on vacation, walking in the park, on the beach with their kids, and everyone looks and everyone is assuming because you've given the illusion with your palms that everything's fine, everything's happy, look at us. We have victory. We have joy. We're celebrating. We see it in social media. We see it in church. We see it with our friends and our family. There's such pressure today to convince everyone we're fine. We're happy. Life is good. Look, I have my job. I have my family. I have my kids. I have everything. Why would I not be happy? Look, everything's great. We have victory. We're worshiping. We're smiling. We're happy. We're great. We are shaking palms. The church, did you catch this? As they're shaking palms of victory, they're shouting for help. They're crying out to the Lord, saying, Lord, I beg you, as they're shaking their pom-poms, claiming victory and joy and celebrating. They're saying, Lord, I'm begging you. I'm begging you. Save me. Save me. While everyone assumes I'm happy and everyone assumes I have victory and everyone assumes I have peace, the truth is, Lord, I'm begging you to save me from my problems. Because my problems are bigger than me. Lord, I'm begging you to save me from my thoughts. Because my thoughts keep me up at night. My thoughts put fear and anxiety all day in my heart. My thoughts are negative and scare me. I need you to save me from my thoughts. Lord, I need you to save me. I'm begging you from the bondage that I'm in, the sin that controls my life. Because church, I want to be honest with you. This Palm Sunday is a Sunday that I want to hear a witness say, Pastor, I'm tired of shaking palms. I'm tired of coming to church since everyone thinks I'm happy. I'm tired of posting like everything's fine. I'm tired of that saying when people ask me, how are you? That I'm forced to say I'm great, I'm happy, I got victory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, I'm wonderful. I'm tired of coming to church with my palms. And everyone thinks I have victory with the Lord and we're closer than ever, but the truth is I'm asking God to beg me because I never felt so far from Him. And it's hard to go worship. It's hard to come to church. It's hard to read the Bible. I'm lacking that enthusiasm and that push. But I can't tell anyone because everyone has to see me shaking my pom-pom. Like I'm fine. I'm tired of shaking it in public. But everyone sees me on the outside and they say, look how happy they are. Look how much victory they have. Look how peaceful they are. But deep down inside, they don't know the cry that I'm begging for. It's exhausting for parents to shake their pom-poms in front of their kids. Kids, mom and daddy are happy. We're fine. We're great. We love each other. But deep down inside, behind closed doors, you're begging for a salvation because your marriage is on the brink of divorce. There's so much pressure for us to shake our palms in front of friends and family and society. Because society, especially in the church, tells you that because you're a Christian, you're supposed to have everything together. You're supposed to always be faithful, always be strong, always be passionate for the Lord. Never fear, never worry, always be happy, always have a smile on your face. But how many of you today can honestly lie to me today and say, Pastor, that's me. I'm always happy. I'm always strong with the Lord. I always like my spouse. I'm never burned out. I'm never discouraged. I'm always strong and faithful. The truth is, look around you, church. Look around you. Everyone, look around. There's not one person that has it all together. Can we praise God for that right now? There is not one person that says, man, I got it all together. Why do I say this? Because you are not the only one shaking palms on the outside, but destroyed on the inside. And while the people are shaking their palms of victory and praise and celebrating with joy, deep down inside they are screaming to Jesus, we're begging you to help. We're begging you to help. That's why I love Palm Sunday. Easter gets all the credit, but listen. Jesus comes in on a donkey. Because yes, the palms were a symbol of peace. Sorry, the palms were a symbol of joy and victory. The garments were a symbol of honor. But Jesus came in to that town, to that city, to Jerusalem, not on a horse, not on a stallion, not with a chariot. He came on a humble, lowly donkey. Why? Because a donkey was a symbol of peace. You see, when a king would ride on the donkey around town, around the city, he was letting his people know, we are not in battle. We are not at war. This is a time of peace and rest. You see, Jesus is coming back on a horse. But right now, he says, I'm coming on a donkey. Because I want my people to know that your king is here and he's here to bring you peace. He's letting you know everything's going to be okay. He's letting us know you don't have to worry. And Jesus would come to Jerusalem to die on the cross and raise again to give us peace with God first. Peace with God because we were at war with God because our sin separated us from Him. But when Jesus died, He took our place. He paid the price and the penalty for our sins. And it's in Him and only Him that we now have forgiveness of our sins. We have a way to God the Father and we now have peace with God. Jesus is saying, not only do I want to give you peace with God, I want you to experience the peace of God. You see, the peace with God is when God, through Jesus, made everything right. He died on the cross for our sins. So God, because of what Jesus did, the Lord says, we have peace. We're good. But the peace of God is different. The peace of God is where the Bible says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer, present your supplication to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. See, the peace of God is the peace that you experience even when you have no reason to. It's a peace that you have even when the world is falling apart. It's a peace that you feel even when you watch the news and everything's on fire. It's the peace that you feel when you open up the letters and things are overdue, but you still have it together. It's the peace that when people come up against you and try to fight you, you're still in control. You still manage your emotions because you have the peace of God. The peace of God is the peace that only God has because He's on the throne, in control, sovereign over all things. And God looks at everything you're going through. He looks at everything in the world. And He's not worried. He's not afraid. He's not discouraged. He's not upset. He's not telling His angels, what are we going to do about all of this? He is on the throne in peace. God says, this is the peace I want you to feel. Peace that surpasses all understanding. Jesus Christ came on the donkey because He was letting the people know, I've come in peace. John 14:27, Jesus tells His disciples, His followers, as He's getting ready to go to Jerusalem, as He's getting ready to ascend into heaven, as He's getting ready to leave, Jesus said, my peace I leave you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. See, Jesus, let's hold that verse there. Jesus says, I don't give peace like the world gives peace. What is worldly peace? Worldly peace is the peace you experience when everything is right. Worldly peace is I have peace because my kids are well behaved, my bills are paid, I got a promotion at work, my wife isn't nagging me, I'm healthy and strong, and everything is great. I don't have problems, I don't have stress, I couldn't ask for a better life. That's why I have peace. That is worldly peace. And Jesus says, I didn't come to give you that type of peace. Why? Because in this world, Jesus says, you're going to have many troubles. So Jesus says, I'm giving to you not as the world gives, do I give. So He says, let not your hearts be troubled. Neither be afraid. Church, did you hear what Jesus said? He says, don't let your hearts, your emotions trouble you or be afraid. And if you are afraid today and you're troubled in your emotions and your thoughts, Jesus says you're only feeling that way because you've allowed it. He says, don't let your heart, even when trouble comes, even when war ensues, even when problems are all around you, He says, do not allow yourself to be troubled or afraid. But it seems like lately in the church and with God's people and even all around our society, people are troubled. And people are panicking. And people are afraid. And peace is the last thing that we are experiencing. Jesus says, that's not how I want you to live. The peace that God says I give you, it's a peace that means even when I'm in trouble. Come on, how many of you have some trouble in your life right now? Jesus says, even when you're in trouble, in the midst of your trouble, in the midst of your problems, you can have peace. How is it possible that as Christians, we can have peace in the midst of our troubles? It's because we believe with all our hearts that God is in control. That He works all things. That He has a plan. That He has a purpose. Our peace is not from the world. Meaning our peace is not logically saying, oh, well, we have peace because everything's great. No, our peace should not make sense to non-believers. They should look at your life and look at everything you're going through and look at your problems and your sicknesses and all of everything around you that's falling apart, and they should see you with a peace that says, I trust God. And they should say, how are you so relaxed right now? How are you so peaceful right now? Because I trust God. I trust God with my problems. I trust God with my mess. I trust God with my enemies. I trust God with my finances. I trust God with my health. And even though things get in trouble, I'm not going to let myself fall apart. Why is it that we lose peace? How do you know you've lost peace? Well, let me shake my pom-poms and tell you how. Ready? Come on, help me. Help me. I'm going to cheer you up. Can I cheer you up? Church, give me a P. Give me an A. Give me an L. Give me an M. What does that spell? No. This is what it spells. Put it on the screen there, Gavin. Why you have no peace? Well, because I have pain. I have pain. Physical pain in my body. Emotional pain from my past. Pain from problems all around me. How many of you know that people can be a pain? You're married to a pain. Your kids are a pain. Your boss is a pain. My whole life is a pain. So it's hard for me to have peace because all I do is shake my palms like I'm happy, but I have pain. It's a cycle because of your pain that you don't give to the Lord, it transfers over to anxiety. How am I going to fix my pain? What if I don't fix my pain? What if I have this pain the rest of my life? What am I going to do? How is this going to happen? It's never going to change. And you go to sleep with anxiety. You wake up with anxiety. And all day long you have anxious thoughts. Thoughts that tell you you're going to lose control. You're going to amount to nothing. Everything's going to fail. It all depends on you. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? How are you going to do it? How are you going to do it? And anxiety falls into a constant state of worry. But there you are with anxiety. I'm fine. Shaking my palms. But you can't tell anyone about your anxiety because you're a Christian. And Christians are never to worry and always to be faithful, so then it leads you to loneliness. I can't tell people what I really feel. So I got to shake my palm. Because everything's fine. No one knows how lonely I am. No one understands what I'm going through. I can't tell the pastor what I have in my life because he might criticize me. I can't talk to my wife about how I feel or my husband because they might judge me. No one understands what I'm going through. No one knows how I feel. No one's going through this but me. And the devil tells you your pain has led you to anxiety. Your anxiety is only you and you're lonely. And that's why it leads you to the worst feeling of all. You're miserable. You know how many people come to church shaking palms, but they're miserable? You wake up misery. You wake up with misery. You live with misery. You act like a miserable person. You live like a miserable person. You have miserable thoughts, a miserable attitude, a miserable speech. Everything that comes out of your mouth is misery. And then you come to church. Hey, how's it going? I'm fine. But deep down inside, you're begging Jesus to help you because you're miserable. Church, this is not peace. This is why so many people have lost their peace. I want to tell you this morning, in Jesus' name, you can get your peace back. You can get your peace back. You don't have to allow pain, anxiety, loneliness, or misery to make you a painful, anxious, lonely, miserable Christian. Does that make any sense? I love Jesus, but I'm a pain. I love Jesus, but I live with constant anxiety. I trust Jesus, but I'm lonely. I love the Lord, but I'm miserable. Maybe you've lost your peace. I want to share with you three life-changing, peace-bringing principles. Do Palm Sunday. That guarantees a life of peace. Wouldn't that be nice? And can I tell you, all of the peace-bringing life principles you're going to learn today all have to do with that donkey Jesus. Jesus gets all the glory. Disciples get all the attention. The crowd and everyone. But what about that donkey? That donkey is special. It's not just an ordinary donkey. And I want to tell you, Jesus, He said, find me that donkey. That donkey was prophesied in the book of Zechariah 500 years before Jesus wrote it, that he would ride on the donkey to Jerusalem. That donkey had a plan, that donkey had a purpose, and that donkey was used by Jesus. Why is this so important? Because if Jesus had a plan and a purpose and he used the donkey, imagine what he could do for you. I got donkeys in the church. Stubborn mules. Stubborn. Listening to their sermons, say, not me. I'm going to be miserable. No, my life is too hard. You sound like a donkey. As stubborn as a donkey. But even Jesus can use a donkey. Jesus used a donkey to speak in the book of Numbers, and he used the donkey to ride into Jerusalem in triumph. And with Jesus, you might be the biggest donkey of life, but you can triumph with Jesus. Let me tell you how to live at peace again. Number one, acknowledge. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. But in all your ways, verse 6 says, in all your ways, yeah, with me, all your ways, acknowledge Him, He will, not might, He will. Make your path. Other translation said, direct your path. How many need some direction for your life? We all do. Let me tell you, the one thing God does not want you to be afraid of. What am I going to do? What does it mean to acknowledge that Jesus, to acknowledge God? See, this is a coffee mug verse. We all have it in our coffee mug, t-shirt, bumper stickers, but we don't really know what it means. To acknowledge the Lord is to recognize that God is the one who works in our lives with power, authority, wisdom, and goodness, and justice. And because the Lord is sovereign and has power and authority and wisdom and goodness and justice, we don't have to lean on our own understanding. We don't have to lean on our own ability. We don't have to go by our own wisdom, our own strength, our own power. See, a lot of you are having no peace right now because you've convinced yourself somehow you're the one that has to fix this problem. You're the one that has to figure something out. You're the one that has to make it work. You're the one that has to keep it together. You're the one that has to change it. Everything goes around you. Can I tell you that is why you are so in pain and anxiety and lonely and miserable, why you shake your little pom-pom? Because you have failed to remember you have a God that's in control and wants you to trust Him. He says, trust me with all your heart and everything, every area of your life. Your finances, your health, your job, your family, your kids, your future, your past, your present. Every area of your life is an area God says, I am in control over and I need you to trust me. See, Jesus is going to Jerusalem. You want to know why you can trust Jesus? Look at that donkey He rode on. Jesus is going to Jerusalem. He's on his way. And remember, in the book of Zechariah, that donkey was prophesied that the Messiah would come on the donkey. There's only one problem. While Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, there was no donkey. They had no donkey yet. And time's running out. And Jesus is about to go into Jerusalem. And if Jesus doesn't go into Jerusalem with a donkey, he disqualifies himself as a Messiah, because the Bible says the Messiah will come riding on the donkey. But there's a problem. There is no donkey. What are we going to do? What if we don't find a donkey? What if the donkey never shows up? What if people say that Jesus isn't God because there was never a donkey and he gets disqualified? Can you see the tension? No, you don't, because Jesus was not worried. Jesus is so in control. He tells his disciples, go to that village over there. Go on ahead to that village. When you go to this village, remember, this is during the Passover time, so there's over 1 million people. He says, go to that village. When you go to that village, you're going to see a house. When you see that house, you're going to see a donkey. That donkey is going to be tied up. And if that owner comes out and tells you, what are you doing untying my donkey? Just tell him the Lord Jesus. And the Bible says that Jesus commands his disciples to go, ironically, not by coincidence, there he was. Tied. What they need. The donkey. Why can you trust him and acknowledge him? Because the same way the Lord was ahead of the problem they had, the Lord is ahead of the problem he faced. He doesn't say to the donkey, and I'm glad he doesn't, he doesn't say to the disciples, go find me a donkey. Well, where? I don't know. Figure it out. Do something. But you better not come back without a donkey. Jesus gave them direction, because Proverbs 3:5 says he will direct your path. You see, God is so sovereign. He knows exactly where you need to be and when and why and who he's going to put on your path to get you to fulfill the purpose that he has for you. And the fact that the donkey was there and it was written 500 years before, it means that God is in control. I don't care who you are, but God is in control of your life. He's directing you. He knows where you need to go, what you need to do. He led them to find a man. Own the donkey. Ladies, if you're single, he'll lead you to find a man. If you're in need, like they needed a donkey, he will lead you to meet your need. But God will direct your path. But the reason so many people don't have peace is because you lean on your own understanding. You're convinced that you know the best path for your life. You are convinced that you have the answer, that you make it happen. But if you are open to acknowledge the Lord and say, Lord, I acknowledge you as King and Lord of my life, and I pray you direct me to what to do, where to go. Send me, Lord, at the right time, to the right place, with the right people, so that I may fulfill your purpose. Church, you don't have to fear what's next. It's going to happen. Jesus was already ahead of us in our situation. And he knows what we need. And he knows how to provide. The odds of finding the donkey during Passover is nearly impossible. With so many travelers. It's like finding a rental car during Christmas. But Jesus made a way. Come on, give God praise for this. He says, I have. But then, the second principle to peace. You can acknowledge God, that He's in control, that He's sovereign and directs us. The question is not whether God will lead you. The question is whether you will follow. The second life-giving principle for peace is obedience. Look at verse 32 and 33. We read this, but we really don't read it. So they went. Everyone said, so they went. And found the colt just as Jesus had said. Sure enough, they were untimely. The owner asked them, why are you untimely? And the disciples replied, the Lord Jesus. You read this like it's normal. But suppose I would tell you right now, you know, you love me, you're my friend, you trust me, right? I'm your pastor, right? I mean, you trust me. Why isn't your hand up? Okay, good. You imagine if I tell you after church, hey, do me a favor. Oh, anything for you, pastor. I go, I mean, you're my man, all right? Would you go to the parking lot across the street on 49th Street there? You know the Sedano's over there on 49th Street by 12? Yeah, I know it. Would you go there? And when you go to that parking lot, you're going to find a nice red Corvette. And the keys are going to be inside. I want you to go inside that car, start it up, and bring it to me. And if the owner comes running after you with a shotgun, just tell him, Pastor David needs it. How many would say, oh, right away, Pastor? None of you. But this is exactly what Jesus says to his disciples. I want you to go to the next village. You're going to see a donkey. Untie it. Give it to me. Bring it to me. And if the owner comes out, which he did, just tell him, don't worry, owner. I know it looks like theft. I know it looks like we're breaking the law. But Jesus needs it. This took a high level of faith and obedience. And what's amazing about this passage is that the Bible says the disciples went. They didn't say, well, Jesus, why? Jesus, that's crazy. Jesus, that's impossible. What are the odds we're going to find the donkey? What if the owner comes out and kills us? What if we give a bad testimony because we're going to be known as the men that stole from a person? What if they did none of that? You see, church, we don't have to ask God why. We just have to say, yes, Lord, I obey you, Lord, because you said so, Lord. The disciples went because Jesus said to. And when they went, the Bible says they found the donkey just like Jesus had said. Why does the Bible highlight this? Because it's letting you and I know that God's word can be trusted and it will always prove to be true. Whatever the Word of God says, it's not only true, but the Lord will prove it in your life. God's Word is not only true and will prove to be true, but God's Word is something you have to obey. It has to be the authority of your life. Many people lose peace because you refuse to obey God. You want to do it your way. The Lord will guide you like He guided the disciples to that donkey on Palm Sunday. The question is, will you follow? Will you say yes, Lord? The way to peace is to acknowledge that God is in control, sovereign over all things. And because He's sovereign, Lord, whatever you say, I will do. Whatever you tell me, whatever you guide, whatever you put in my heart, Lord, you can count on me. I'm not going to doubt you. I'm not going to question you. I'm not going to go against you. I'm just going to do it. You know, 13 plus years ago when God called me to plant a church in Hialeah, that was my donkey. I was like, what? Why? I think I heard God say Coral Gables. But no, He said, Hialeah with you crazy donkeys. And He led me here. And he made a way and provisions. Why? I don't know. But you know what, church? I don't need to know. I don't need to know. I'm a yes man. Yes, Lord. Here I am. The Lord's going to guide you and direct you. He might tell you in your heart, hey, pay for that person's lunch. Don't say, have you heard of inflation? It's expensive. I'm not going to do that. He might say, invite that person to church. Have you ever felt that in your heart? Let me tell them about my church. Invite them over to coffee. Just hear them out. Buy them a gift. Help them. Serve them. He's going to move in your heart and guide you to people and places. You have a lot more peace in your life if you just say yes and obey. But see, Jesus and the donkey and the disciples get a lot of credit in this Palm Sunday night. So there's one person that's nameless that we don't even know, but he is the reason that the donkey was even there. Have you ever thought about the owner of that donkey? Verse 33 and 35. And sure enough, as they were untying it, the owners, they don't say owner. The owners asked them, why are you untying that colt? The disciples simply replied, the Lord needs it. So they brought it. You know what this Bible verse says in the context? In the context, they said, the Lord needs it. This man, whoever he is, didn't argue, didn't fight, didn't say no. The Lord needs it. Principle number three. Something that you don't hear often in church. Because it's challenging. Surrender ownership to the Lord. This is the ironic thing. Psalm 50, verse 10. It says, for all the animals of the forest are what? God says, all the animals are mine. Even that demonic chihuahua of yours, he is God's. Yes, even wiener dog belongs to the Lord. He's a saint. Sorry. For all the animals of the forest are mine, and I own the cattle. On a thousand hills. God says every animal on every hill around the world belongs to me. I'm the one. But the Bible says that this man was the owner. But what's happening? Jesus in his humanity humbled him to go ask for that donkey. And he says, that's the owner. You go and ask. And as the disciples came and untied the donkey, this man could have thought he was being robbed, could have thought that these men were taking his precious donkey because donkeys were valuable. But when they said, the Lord needs him, we don't know who this man is, but we know he's a believer. Why? Because he knew who the Lord was. We don't know if this was a man Jesus had an encounter with. We don't know if this is a man Jesus might have healed. We don't know if this is a man that might have heard a sermon Jesus preached. But we know that this man knew who the Lord Jesus was. And somewhere in the life of Jesus, in his ministry, this man said, Lord, I surrender my life to you, and I'm yours. And he repented of his sin and made Jesus Christ the Lord of his life. But he did not just say, Lord, you are Lord of my life. He said, you are Lord of all my things. And whatever you need, Lord, I will be there. And the day came that the disciples showed up and said, hey, the Lord needs you. The man said, hey. See, can I humble you for a second? We all need to be humble. Everything belongs to God. Everything you own, you only own because God gave it to you. That is not your job, that's God's job. That is not your house, that is God's house. Those aren't your kids, those are God's. Before Callie's even born next week, I already prayed over him and said, Lord, this girl is yours, not mine. You do with her what you want. Everything. We live in a sick society that says, this is my life, my body, my choice, my destiny. I control it. But you don't realize that everything you have is not because of your ambition, your wisdom, your wit. It is because God in His mercy and His grace has given it to you. Yeah, give Him praise. And what's amazing is that when this man saw the donkey being untied, it was Jesus behind it saying, I want it. Bring it to me. Because it's mine. He didn't argue. He didn't fight. And you realize when Jesus used this donkey, it went against everything this man planned for that donkey. He might have planned to sell that donkey. He might have planned to use that donkey. That donkey was brand new. It had never been ridden, fresh off the lot. And that donkey was given to Jesus because this man, whoever he says, whoever he is, said to the Lord, I am not the owner. You are. I'm just a steward of it. You don't realize, church, what's being taught here this morning. The greatest experience you could ever have in your life is peace. And peace can only come through Jesus when you acknowledge Him as Lord, when you live in obedience to Him, and when you surrender ownership of everything to Him. Because when you surrender ownership to God, you are saying, this belongs to you. And whatever belongs to God, He is responsible to care for. When you surrender ownership to God, you're saying, Lord, I'm giving you control. And I trust you to care for me. Maybe tonight as we close today, we need to surrender ownership to the Lord. Lord, this is my life for the children. This is my house for the children. These are my kids, but they're yours. And that man released that donkey to Jesus. I love it because that man, he didn't know what was going on until he heard the Lord move. And when he knew that the Lord was behind him, let it be. You know, in my heart and my spirit, I feel to some of you here. You have forgotten that the Lord is behind you. He's behind all things. There are some things right now, like that donkey, you need to just release to the Lord. Because if that man would have said no, that donkey would have done nothing. Jesus had a greater purpose for that donkey. What if the Lord has a greater purpose for the things, and the people, and the life that you live? Did that man believe? What a difference your life would be if you would stop just shaking your palms in church, pretending everything's fine and victorious, and just say, Lord, I need to acknowledge and recognize that you are the one in control over all my life and situation. You have all the strength, all the power, all the authority, all the wisdom, all the goodness. And I'm going to lean on my own understanding. I'm not going to lean on my own ability. I'm not going to lean on myself for this. But I'm going to trust you to direct my path. And as you direct me, Lord, whatever you direct me to do, whatever you direct me to say, wherever you direct me to be, I will obey. And Lord, in my life, I surrender ownership to you. I give you everything you first given to me. That's why Jesus says, bring me that donkey, not give me a donkey, because you cannot bring to someone what doesn't belong to you. So when Jesus said, bring me that donkey, Jesus is ultimately saying, I own that donkey. And maybe there are some things in your life you need to surrender ownership to because you are trying too hard to maintain it and care for it. And the Lord says, that's fine. You guys receive this word? In Luke chapter 19, 41 to 42, that as the day came closer to Jerusalem, Jesus saw the city ahead. He began to weep. He cried. Why? He said this, how I wish today that you of all people would understand the way to work. The way to peace. But now it is too late and peace is hidden from your eyes. See, Jesus went to Jerusalem and wept over it because he knew the people that were there to celebrate him and worship him and say victory and pretend to honor him. He knew that those people were not truly saved. He knew that they really did not understand what peace was. Why? Because the people wanted peace, but they did not want peace with God. Because they thought they were okay with God because of their religion and their laws. They wanted peace from the oppression of the Roman Empire. They wanted peace from all their problems and physical problems that the Roman government was oppressing on the Jewish people. So they were saying, God, we want you to only fix our physical lives. Fix our problems. Fix our situations. But don't fix our souls. Don't fix our spirits because we're fine. But Jesus said, you don't understand. I didn't come only to give you peace from problems and peace in your physical life. I came so that you will have peace with God and that I would die for your sins. And Jesus says, if you only knew what peace meant, peace is right in front of you. His name is Jesus. But you're so caught up in this world and so caught up in this life that you are letting Jesus go by without surrendering your life to him. And one of my biggest fears as a pastor is that you are the palm shakers in the church that think you're okay with God and you're letting Jesus just pass you by. And you want Jesus, but you only want him to fix your life, to fix your problem, to give you a raise at work, to heal you of cancer, to fix your marriage. But Jesus said, what about the biggest problem of all? Your sin that separates you from God. You see, Jesus came on Passover. But the Bible says in the book of John, he came 6 days before Passover. Why is this so important? Because this was known as the month of Nisan. In the book of Exodus, God would command the people that right before Passover, you are to select a lamb to be slaughtered. So you will get the blood and put it over your doorpost as a reminder of what Jesus, what God did in Egypt. So 5 days before Passover, it's like when I was a kid, before Christmas, we would go out to the farm to pick out the pig that would be slaughtered for our meal. And it was a joyful, exciting time if you're a Wahito. Yes. From Hialeah, you're like, hey, we're going to get the pig today. And me and my brothers and my cousins and my grandfather and my dad, we would all go out there and have a great time because it was a celebration of the pig we were going to eat. But 5 days before Passover, during the month of Nisan, was when the people would go out to get the pig. Or the lamb. And they would keep the lamb for 5 days, according to Exodus, keep it in your home for 5 days. And on after that day, slaughter and Passover would be. But John says something different. John says Jesus came on the 6th day before Passover. That means that the day before, everyone would go out to pick the lamb, to slaughter them. That Jesus would come a day before and say, I am the lamb. You don't need to go out there anymore to pick a lamb, because I am the lamb that was led to be slaughtered. I am the lamb that came to take away the sins of the world. I am the lamb. And in Jerusalem, in the back gate called the Lamb's Gate, is where all those lambs will come in to be slaughtered. But Jesus came in from the front gate. Why? Because he's letting the people know the lambs and the sheep, that's in the back. That's back then. That's the Old Testament. But now I am the Lamb of God that has come to take away the sins of the world. And I'm right in front of you. I'm right in front of you. But all you care about is this pathetic, temporary life. But the greatest peace you can feel is not a peace when your bills are paid, when your health is good, and when life is easy. The greatest peace you will ever have is knowing that you have peace with God. And when you die, you are covered by the blood of Jesus, and you are on your way to God the Father in heaven. And Jesus would cry on Palm Sunday. He would cry because he said the people don't get it. If you only understood peace, what's right in front of you? Let's all bow our heads for a word of prayer. You have peace right now. The peace with God. The peace with God that says, I have repented of my sins and turned my life to Jesus, who's the only way to God the Father. That it's not by works that I'm saved, not by religion that I'm saved, but by grace and trusting Jesus to be my Lamb. Church, if you have that peace with God, you show me your hands. Pastor, I have that peace. When I die, God bless you all. A lot of you couldn't raise your hands today. And I'm glad you're on. Because right now, Jesus is right in front of you saying, if you only understood what real peace is. Real peace is trusting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Before you think about the peace of God and peace with your physical life, think about the spiritual peace that God sent His Son Jesus to God. He died to do what we couldn't do in our own selves. He died for sin. The Bible says it is by grace you can do. Grace is love that you don't deserve. None of us deserve salvation. None of us deserve to be saved from our sin. That's why Jesus came. And He came through the front. Because He's letting you know I'm right in front of you. And I don't want you to just shake palms and say, oh, Hosanna, save me. But you're asking me only to save you from problems. I didn't come to die for problems. I came to die for sin. That's your biggest problem. That's you today. You say, Pastor, I want to receive once and for all. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Would you put that hand up? Bless you. See your hands. 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 Father, you see the hands of everyone that's here today. Father, I pray you would receive. This is you this morning, church. If you're listening online, would you just pray this with me, Lord Jesus? You are the Lamb that came to take away the sins of the world. And today I acknowledge you as my Savior. I ask you to forgive me of my sin as I turn to you. I surrender to you. And I ask that you save me, for you are the only way to salvation. In Jesus' name. If you're here this morning, say, Pastor, I have the peace with God. I am a born-again believer. I have trusted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. But I do not have the peace of God. I've allowed my pain, my anxiety, my loneliness, and the anger that I feel mad to rob me of my peace. I've allowed the problems with my life. I've allowed the stress and the people and everything that's in front of me. I've allowed it to rob me of my peace. I confess today I'm not acknowledging God like I need to. I'm relying on my own understanding, my own power and strength. I confess that I'm not as obedient to the Word as I should be. But I'm doing what I want to do, not what God says. And Pastor, I'm confessing today, there's things in my life I need to surrender ownership. I need to surrender ownership to God. And say, Lord, this belongs to you. I can't take care of it. If that's you today, I want you to stand to you. Not just raise your hand. Come on. Just stand to you. God bless you. God bless you. Stand all in front of you. I want to pray with you today. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, you see the people here today. Father, you see the family in front of us. You know the pain, the anxiety, the loneliness, the misery. You know what they're up against. Father, today, they've acknowledged they need to surrender ownership for peace. They need to acknowledge you and trust you and live in obedience. Right now, wherever you're at, whether you're standing or sitting or listening online, would you just tell the Lord what it is you need to surrender ownership? Would you tell the Lord where you need to trust Him and acknowledge Him? Just say, Lord, bring me peace. Bring me peace. Because you are way ahead of me. And if you knew 500 years before that a donkey would be their time to fulfill your purpose, church, I guarantee that the Lord has fulfilled His purpose already for your life. Let's all stand to our feet so I can pray over you. Father, thank you for this word, for this message. Father, you came before the Lamb was chosen to tell the people, I am the chosen man. You came to die on the cross for our sins. You took care of the biggest problem, which is our sin separating us from God. So who are we to worry about the petty problems in our life? Who are we to worry about money and people and health and kids and stress? But Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you would help us to acknowledge you in all our ways, to trust you to direct our path as you trusted, as the disciples trusted you to direct their path. That donkey, and I believe, Lord, today you're telling someone, I am guiding you to where you need to be. I believe, Lord, today when we obey you, your word will always prove to be true. And that donkey was there because you said it'd be there. And whatever you say, Lord, cannot be disproven. Whatever you say, Lord, cannot be stopped. So let us be reminded today that your word is authority over all problems and situations. And I pray that it be the authority over our lives and choices. And Father, give us the heart of this man, we don't even know his name, who surrendered ownership to that precious donkey of his and trusted you. And I pray, Lord, we surrender ownership to the things in our lives we've convinced ourselves we own. Father, take care of it. Protect it and use it as you see. And I pray that you give us peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give God some praise this morning.